I guess what I'd like to ask you first of all is, there's a lot of lesbian and gay and bisexual and transgender people who look at your actions in the last couple of years with a certain amount of envy, because I think they feel that you have a greater conviction of their place in the church than even some of them do. So I guess I'm wondering if you can talk about, you know, where your personal conviction comes from that lesbian and gay and bisexual people deserve to be full and equal members of the Anglican Communion.
Well, I want gay and lesbian and transgendered people to know that they are welcome in the Anglican Church. I've been ordained now for about 30 years. And in the course of my ordained ministry, I've met many homosexual people who feel rejected by the church, and therefore by Christ. And I find that so sad and so contrary to the Christian gospel as I know it, that I really do want people to know that they are welcome among us. Well, the overwhelming witness of Scripture is that God loves all people unconditionally. That is to say, there are no conditions upon it. It's true that you have certain passages. Actually, there are only six passages out of the thousands of verses in the Bible that even deal with same-sex relationships. It is true that they are negative, but I see them arising out of an ancient culture which said negative things about a number of other groups of people and issues that we no longer hold to today. So I think you have, when you read the Bible, you have to distinguish between the time-bound truths or conditions that you find there and the eternal truths of Scripture, which are what I would call the greater message. Certainly in Jesus we find no condemnation of gay or lesbian people. We find no condemnation of women in a culture that did regard women as second class. And the church has, over the years, changed its position on women, changed its position on slavery, changed its position on divorce. We're now undergoing a kind of, well, somewhat traumatic struggle around the inclusion of gay and lesbian people. But all of this is in faithfulness to Scripture, not in rebellion against Scripture. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people who will be listening to this probably don't realize that back in 2000, when the diocese voted 62% in favor of blessing same-sex unions, that there were actually two votes prior to that on previous years where the diocese had voted, I think, 51% and 56% in favor of blessing same-sex unions. And you hadn't let that go ahead because you'd felt that the narrow margin implied that the diocese wasn't ready for this. And then when you did let it go ahead, it was with a whole series of conditions. Given how careful you were about trying to, I guess, avoid controversy, you might say, have you been surprised by the amount of backlash that this has generated?
No, not really. I know the church pretty well. I've spent most of my life in it. And I knew it would be a difficult transition for a lot of people. And that's partly why I held the diocese back for about 5 years. Hoping to build consensus, hoping to ensure a climate of respect for the new minority, because, you see, we had a new minority, which was conservative traditionalists, which I think surprised the gay and lesbian community. And my sympathies and pastoral concern has always been for minority groups. And so when we found we had a new minority group, I was concerned that they not be isolated or abandoned. Now, I've not been entirely successful in my efforts, as everyone knows, but it's not been for want of trying. I think there is a place for everybody in the Anglican Church. We certainly respect people's differences of opinion and view. All I have asked for, really, in the end, is that everyone respect people who hold differing views from themselves and continue to work together and get on with the work of the Church.
Speaking of the dissidents for a few more minutes, what do you say to the people who have criticized the move of the diocese and who have chosen to walk away?
We spent a long time discussing and debating this move in the diocese. We were concerned at every step of the way with how it would impact other parts of the Anglican Church in other places in the world. And we were concerned, as I've already said, for people of conservative and traditional conscience within the Lower Mainland who would find this difficult. So we've tried to exercise great care for everyone who would not like to see the church change, just as we've decided to change out of a sense of care for those who have been excluded up till now. Because remember, gay and lesbian people for the last 2,000 years have really never had equality rights in the church. And we felt that it was time to bring an end to discrimination and prejudice, that the unity of the church cannot be built upon injustice. And what we've done is, out of pastoral care and concern, to try to create a space for everyone and not to impose anything on anybody. And I think the vast majority of members of our diocese understand this, and we all feel sad that there's been this turmoil. We also feel that most of it is unnecessary because the blessing of same-sex unions has not been required or mandated upon anybody who in conscience feels that they can't do it.
Now, I have to ask, I think today there are about 12 churches in Texas who joined together and announced that they were going to bring the Episcopal Church of the U.S. to its knees over the ordination of Gene Robinson and the progressive direction that it's moving in. Can you give me your thoughts about that announcement?
I think it's sad that people should expend so much energy in the direction of hatred. A God who wants to include, a God who sent Jesus to touch lepers, to minister to prisoners, Jesus who included women and did not discriminate against anyone, to have a kind of exclusivist campaign to kick people out in the name of a God who wants to invite people in is such a fundamental contradiction in terms that I don't think in the long run the church will be able to take that kind of message seriously. I know a great many Anglicans in quite conservative cultures who would not be comfortable with gay and lesbian inclusion, who are just horrified at the tactics of battle that are going on by the religious right. Anglicanism has faced this before, of course, over the ordination of women and remarriage of divorced people. And I think, you know, if you go back far enough, you could trace it through the whole issue around slavery in the 19th century and the divine right of kings and monarchs in the 16th century. We faced these battles before. I'm sure we will come through this again, but it's just a great diverting of energy into negative directions that we see being launched in Texas.